Well, everybody excited about what's happening around here?
Yeah.
Four of you. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, if you've been coming for a little while now, you understand that we are in a series, actually an eight-part series that we've entitled Running with the Giants. And in this series, it's a little bit of a unique series. And we're taking this series based off of the first verse in chapter 12 of Hebrews. The first verse of chapter 12 of Hebrews refers us actually to chapter 12 because it has the word therefore. So it's you have to know what therefore is there for. Well, it's therefore because of what it says has been said in chapter 11, which chapter 11 is known by many as the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith, and it lists all the giants of the faith who lived life well and did some amazing things and lived their life by faith. And then chapter 12 refers to those people saying that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And as we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, it encourages us to run this race with perseverance. And so we're taking this series week by week. And what we're doing is, as if we were running a lap around a track, we're running this race of life around this track like an Olympian track. And surrounded around us is this cloud of witnesses. So in the grandstand of life, there are these people that have already run this race and run it well. And what would it look like, though, if we were able to take one of those giants out of the grandstand and let them run a lap with us? What advice would they give us? What would they say to us as we're running our race? And so that's what this series is based on. We've looked at several different giants of the faith, but along with the giants that have already gone on, we're looking at some giants that are here with us now. And we are, week by week, taking this opportunity to see among ourselves who is currently running this race. It gives us an opportunity to get to know one another, And just find out a little bit about each other and also just how this race is going that we're in right now. And so each week, as you know, we've had different people up here. And don't I have a good-looking group up here today? And so we're just so excited about these guys. These guys are just awesome. They're part of the dream team. And I mean, they're the dream team. And so we're thankful for them. And we have... with us, these guys are just, I'm just going to let them tell you a little bit about it. We've got Cody, we've got Tommy, we've got David that are here with us, and we're going to just open it up a little bit, just get to know one another, and then just talk about how just God's making a difference in your life, and even maybe how Crosspoint might be a part of that, helping make a difference in your life. And so I'm looking here. This first time I've had three, so this is a little challenging today, so we'll see how this goes. I'm just saying, who do I start with here? David, you've come to Crosspoint, and God is just really doing some things in your life. And first of all, let's just begin by telling us a little bit about who you are and where you're from.
My name is David McDougal. I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of the 82nd Airborne Division.
There you go.
I had no choice to go into the Army, I'm a local pest control technician here,
And so you're in the Army, and understand, Cody, you were also in the Army. Tell us a little bit about where you're from.
I'm from Corbin, Kentucky. It's about 5 hours from here, and joined the Army back in 2008 on Amanda's birthday.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Happy birthday.
She's with the Children's Church.
Yep. And so you're married to Amanda and got Oliver as his
got
son.
Got Oliver. We've got Thea on the way. Five, six more weeks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, growing.
Excited. Other than that, that's really.
Yeah, and you
I
were
enjoy
also
playing music
and, were,
and stuff like that.
And you too. Were also in the military, right?
Yes,
right.
You're
in the Army.
Yes,
serving well, and we appreciate these guys serving in the Army. And Tommy actually is a son of a guy who served. His father served in the military. Tell us about your life, Tommy. About where you're from.
I'm a military brat.
Okay.
My dad was Navy. I am not in the military. However, I did live in Fayetteville for quite a long time and had to leave, so here I am.
Right. And so all these guys have sort of a similar background, and I know Tommy. I've been knowing Tommy for a long time. Tommy has been with us before we even built this building. We were over in... We call it the Little Church. It's our Crosspoint Kids building. It's under renovation right now. And Tommy actually stepped away from our church for a little season, got him a wife, came back. He's got a wonderful family. I had the honor of actually dedicating some of his babies here at this church, and Tommy just has been just a brother through the years and been somebody that I've leaned on and been such a blessing to us as well. And I was talking to you, David, I was talking to you last night, and you were sharing with me, talking about the military. We all have kind of a military connection here, but you were telling me about some things about where you served and then what happened after your service and some things that you went through.
Right. It's a big transition when you get out of the military. Set standards and to get out on your own. I had a rough time. When I was deployed, I found out my ex-wife was cheating on me. Mm-hmm. And lost my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Lost a few other friends. This week was their anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I attempted suicide when I got back.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I don't look back. Everything's changed, and it's been for the greater good.
What changed?
I got a lovely fiance. Set to get married in October.
Right.
Got money in my pocket now.
Yeah.
I got my own car, my own name. Got a wonderful place to live. Great job, great coworkers. You know, since that day I attempted suicide, I asked God, I was like, show me what you want to do. Tell me what direction you want to go. And I ended up in Mooresville. Mm. And since then, things have been nothing but positive outlook.
And so God put some people in your life, you said, that helped you and gave you direction. And so you committed your life to Christ.
Yes.
And
one person I want to thank is Dwayne. I applied for an ad for Craigslist, be the drummer.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes later, he messaged me, and I've been here ever since.
Isn't that something? And so, great. And so you came into the church, and so you had kind of a lot of confusion going on,
yeah.
a lot of drama, a lot of things happening. But
yeah.
Then you came, you've committed your life to Christ. You went through the growth track, and,
yep.
And I had the honor of actually baptizing you as you were recommitting your life to the Lord.
Yep. And it's been great ever since then. That day, it's been, you know, the heart monitor scale, it's been going up.
There you go. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to hear, you know, I don't know if y'all can do anything here. I'm really echoing really bad here, guys. But it's really encouraging when you hear somebody that's connected to Christ. And not only that, but also finding their place in the local church and God's fulfilling their life and just so there's a big difference, right?
Well, I was always born in the church. I was born and raised in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Joined the military, ran away with it. I actually created a praise and worship band when I was deployed.
Mm-hmm.
And the drummer that me and him switched off, he's the one that got killed in that IED attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been faithful to him. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to worship, is through music, and continue to do that. So.
That is so awesome. That is awesome. So you see, when these guys are up here playing instruments, we just don't know what all is behind the story and what's behind that. And so thank God for that. I know when Cody, when you came to the church, you made a statement. You want to share that?
Well, yeah, it started again. Well, whenever I first came here, I talked to Pastor. First thing I said as soon as I walked in here was, like, I haven't been to church in 6-7 years almost. For me, before I joined the military or anything like that, I tried to start a worship band and stuff like that in the church that I was in Kentucky. It never really worked out, and, I mean, it really wasn't one of those kind of churches either, though. But I joined. I mean, I still believed, and I had my faith. I carry it with me everywhere I go, and never really thought about going back to church or anything like that. I thought, as long as I believe, that's all that matters. One day, my wife actually looks at me and says, this was last year in February, she looked at me and said, you need to find a church and go to it. I said, okay, and I kind of brushed it off to the side.
And then the next day, Sergeant Chadwick, he came up to me and he said, "Hey, man, I know you play drums. My church is looking for a drummer." And at that time, I was like, "That's a calling." So
yes.
Came the following Sunday, I met with everybody, the pastor, Dwayne, Steve, and Ian, and started playing with them. I've been coming ever since.
You know, that's so awesome to hear that. I remember there was a particular Sunday, I was near the back door, and there was somebody here visiting, and found out they played the drums. We needed a drum. We didn't have a drummer at that point. I was all over it, you know. So I'm talking to this person. Oh, well, I'm just really working it. Craig was kind of in the wings, and he overheard the conversation. And so he's like, "Hey, so I hear you're playing. You need a drummer." He said, "Well, I got this guy that works for me. I didn't even realize this. This guy, you know, he tears it up, you know." I said, "Hey, really? Bring him. You know, so, but what part I didn't know was that when you walked in here, you shared that part with me about that you hadn't been in church in probably maybe 7 years. And that blew me away. And then to see you come and connect, has it made any kind of difference in your life just being a part?
I would say it's made a huge difference because used to always had worries and doubts and everything. Now I just throw everything in his hands. As long as everything goes smoothly, I know he's taking care of me.
Isn't that great? And that's it. That's it right there. And, you know, Craig, by the way, I was going to shout this out a little bit later, but these guys really have helped us build this set. They're just amazing. And I found out that if you want to get something done, just call the Army. You know what I'm saying? So I called Craig. I said, "Craig, can you spearhead this project up?" And you made the comment, if you hadn't got Craig to do this, it probably wouldn't have got done. We're so thankful for his leadership. But in addition to that, I'm just going to just throw this out there. We got another project that Cody is going to be heading up and has got approved. You want to tell what that's going to look like?
On May 1st, my entire recruiting company, so all the Army recruiters of Charlotte, Gastonia, and Kannapolis are actually going to come here. And we're going to be cleaning up out front, trying to get the trees cleared out, trying to clean up all the rakes, breaking up the leaves and the sticks, pressure washing the sidewalks, making sure they're all nice and clean, painting the inside of these walls along with redoing the sound booth area, and just trying to...
30 to 40 soldiers are coming in here to make a difference. Isn't that great? I'm like, I got a call saying, "You think you'd be interested in that?" I'm like, "Let me think about that." Yes. So thankful, you know, and I'm telling you, you are making a big difference. I know God's making a difference in your life, and I know that, and he's blessing you, and he's blessed you with a wonderful wife, and now a second child on the way.
Yeah.
But it's not just that God's making a difference in your life, but God is now using you to make a difference in other people's lives as well. You're an encouragement.
Yeah. He's a good teacher, too, because I struggle on some of them songs.
And you should see these guys up on the stage because they, like, work all over the place just helping each other. I mean, you come and just see them practice. It's not all about me. It's all about us and them and God and reaching people, and they pray together and they work together. It's such a team. It's very, very inspiring. And let me just also say that Tommy has his own team going back here and all over the place.
Fantastic team. Give it up for the production team.
Yeah.
We've got Karen, we've got Sydney, we've got Tanner, we've got Josh. All of them are instrumental in actually allowing me to be up here, because 3 months ago this wouldn't have happened. There's no way I could have been up here.
Yeah.
And they are fantastic. They're doing a great job, especially for having as little experience as they do.
Yeah. And Tommy is doing a phenomenal job. He's also our growth track coordinator, and he is leading that. In fact, today is 301. You're leading the Discovery 301
today.
It's my
favorite class, 301. Yes. If you have not been through Growth Track, 301 is it.
And
not that I'm plugging it.
and Tommy really has studied these principles way before we started what we're doing here. Actually, Steve was away at a leadership conference today with Duke Energy and a bunch of scientists, and
he calls them nerds. I don't know. I have the right to say that. And he was texting me about all these principles that work everywhere in life, not just in church, but everywhere. And we're applying those here and having the opportunity to use them for good, for Christ, for eternity. And I've also got to make sure I include your wife. These guys have served so faithfully in our children's ministry, Christy, and all their sacrificial work that they do.
Christy is amazing. As a matter of fact, she's working
with the children
and doing food for the growth track.
Right.
My wife is a great cook.
So, if we're amen. That's right. So, we're just thankful for these guys that make a huge difference. And I know God has made a huge difference in your life. And you alluded to how you were at a place where you didn't know how you could go on, ready to commit suicide, even attempted suicide. But God turned that completely around. I know that Tommy. You were saved at an early age, but even in your own family, you've seen how God is making a difference. I knew you wanted to speak to that.
I have. In keeping with the military connection that we've got going on, my brother served in the Army, and he was deployed to Iraq. He served in Baghdad in the Green Zone, and he spent a lot of time in combat. He was a Stryker driver. And there were several instances where he got into actual firefights outside of the vehicle. One of those firefights, I remember very clearly the phone call afterwards. My brother had lost 7 people in his platoon, and several of them were very, very close friends. And it really messed him up. It put a lot of strain, a lot of trouble in his life. And even nowadays, that's not something you just get over.
Right.
Those things happen, and it stays with you for the rest of your life. And years ago, when we were first dedicating this building, before this carpet was laid, we had a service here in which we put the people that were on our hearts on this concrete, underneath this carpet. My brother's name is written right over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, we just lift him up and dedicate him to the Lord. And today, years later, he is he's in church. He's exploring ways that God's going to use his life. He is excited about the future and not worried about the past. And I'm very excited for him. But
amen.
I know that God's doing it because we took the time to dedicate his place of worship and apply the people we loved in that worship.
Right, right, and we exactly, and that's what this church is all about. It's about lifting people up to the Lord, and seeing God make an eternal difference in their life. And so grateful for that. I know that's something Tommy just he carries his brother with him, and we've talked many times about that. And God has him in His hand, and I'm just thankful that God has all you guys in His hand, and how that He's using your hands to be His hands extended. And I thank you for you making an eternal difference in people's lives. And I hope this has been a blessing. I know some of you out here have got even military backgrounds and can really connect what these guys are saying. I'm so thankful for what God is doing, and believe in Him that He's just begun, right?
Amen.
The best is yet to come.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I just want to, let's just pray for these guys. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to share. Thank you for Cody, and thank you for Tommy, and thank you for David. And we pray blessings upon their life and their family. And thank you, Lord, for bringing them to this place. But God, this is just the beginning. Thank you that your hand is upon them, and greater things are yet to come. God, may use them, continue to use them for your glory and for your kingdom. And God, we give you all the glory for all accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's give it up for these guys. Amen. Good stuff, right? Good stuff. And so we had the opportunity to talk with those that are currently running this race, but now we want to take a moment and pull someone out of that grandstand, of that cloud of witnesses that has already run this race, and let them run a lap with us, and what advice would they give us today? And before we get right into it, let me just say that I said this a moment ago, but I just got to give a shout out again to this team that did an amazing job in putting together this new set. I'm so thankful for Craig, his leadership, and for all those that serve faithfully each week. There were several Saturdays that we spent here working on this. It was no easy task, and I don't know how it all came together so beautifully, but aren't you grateful for them? I just want you to appreciate them. Just take a moment to really appreciate them. And so, again, I've already set the premise of what this series is about based on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that refers us to chapter 11, referring to those giants of the faith who have run this race. Again, if we would look to them, what advice would they give us? And really, the whole book of Hebrews is about endurance. And this scripture that we're going to read in just a moment talks about persevering. There's one place in the scripture that talks about, you know, the one that is saved is the one that actually endures to the end. And we're all about making it all the way. You know, I think about the race between the tortoise and the hare, right? The tortoise wins every time. You know, every time you read the book, it always ends the same. And it's not about just shining for the day, but it's about enduring and it's about persevering. And so each week we've been taking people that have run this race well and letting them run a lap with us. And seeing what advice they would give us. The first week we looked at Noah, we've looked at David, we've looked at Abraham and Joseph. Last week we looked at Rebecca. Didn't Dwayne do a phenomenal job last week as he presented Rebecca's story to us? Come on, give some love here. Give some love. And we had the Dwayne and Dwayne show last week. That was awesome. And how that Rebecca was a person that knew how to give and how we've been challenged to give. I also want to just tell you that next week I have another surprise in my hat. So just, you need to come next week. You don't want to miss next week. It's going to be awesome. I won't tell you who the giant is that's going on or the giant that's coming to speak, but I got a surprise for you next week. So be sure and come and be here next week. And then the following week is actually Palm Sunday, and we'll be concluding this series on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is also, you heard about it a little bit in our announcement video, but it's also our Fellowship 5 Sunday, the fifth Sunday of the month. We're going to have time of just fellowshipping and having a meal, and we're encouraging people to bring some stuff to eat, and we're just going to enjoy life together on that Palm Sunday. And then the week following that is Easter. Everybody say Easter. Easter. Okay, Easter's coming. So we want to make sure that we are really gearing up for Easter. They say that that the people that would normally not come to your church if you invite them will more likely come on Easter. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't just come to church, show up and go, well, I'm here. Where is everybody? What I need you to do is help me. Invite your neighbors, invite your friends, bring somebody with you. Easter is a great opportunity. We'll tell you more about how, we'll give you some tools next week that you can use to invite people with to our Easter service. We're going to have a banner up, but just be sure, it's on our radar, be sure and get ready for Easter because it's a coming. So look at Hebrews chapter 12. I want to get into real quickly just some things that I believe that we can learn from today. In Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And so, in this verse, we see the analogy of a race. And I've never really run a marathon. I've never run a half a marathon. I don't know. The last time I ran a race was probably in high school, okay? I don't know much about running races, but I know I've talked to those that do. I know Pastor Steve, he's a runner, and I don't know how all that works, but I understand that sometimes if you're inexperienced, my sister's run some races, and when you haven't done it before, you step up there and you're kind of, you're being challenged because this is something you've never done before, and you look around, you see all these other people running in the race, and what I've been told is sometimes if you're not careful, you'll start to size them up. You know, well, I think I can beat that one. You know, I think I can win over that one. But be careful, because that may come back to bite you. Because those oftentimes that you think that you can beat, you may beat them the first mile, but then if you're not an experienced runner, those same people that you thought you could beat, you know, the old guy, you know, the person that looks like they weren't in shape, they come passing you by. And so, but life is like that sometimes. You know, sometimes you got to just pace yourself. You got to understand that this thing is a thing of endurance. Now, I didn't do much from running races, but I tried a different challenging event that didn't require running shoes, but it required skis. You know, skis. First time ever went snow skiing. A guy from this church invited me. And it was just me and him. We went up to the slopes. Gets me on the little bunny slope thing, that little beginner thing, and says, "All right, you're ready, come on." And we're going up the lift, and on the way up the lift, he turns to me and he says, "Oh, by the way, there is a place going down this slope, you may become airborne, just letting you know." And I looked at this guy and I said, "What did I do to you? I mean, I thought we were friends, you know." I knew we were in trouble when I tried to get off the little lift thing. I couldn't even figure out how to get off. I mean, I was like sliding. I grabbed him. He went this way, and I went this way. He popped a knee, you know, and here we were, you know, going down this slope. But let me just wrap up the story by saying I was the last person off the slope that night. I'm just, you know, and people were buzzing by me. You know, these little kids, you know, come. When you're passing somebody in a race, whether it's in tennis shoes or on skis, just, you know, just don't say hey as you go by, because it's seen as an act of aggression. You know what I'm saying? So these little kids are like buzzing by me, and I'm laying like this, you know, all kind of deformed and stuff, you know, laying there on the side of this mountain, trying to figure out how to stand up on these things. And these kids, and they always come by with one ski on, you know what I'm saying? Or one ski, or one little snowboard. Or, you know, I can't even stand up on two, you know? And it's like, zing, 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 zing. "Hey, Johnny, wait up! Zing, zing." I mean, the same thing happened when I went water skiing. You know, I'm up on two. The other guy's up on one ski, the first time ever water skiing. And I wipe out going around a turn. He's up one ski, you know? Zing. Spraying me stuff, you know. And then when I went down, he was still up. So they said, "Well, we're going to take Ted on in. We'll be back to get you." Well, this happened to be in Tomoka River down in Ormond Beach, Florida, where there's palm trees on each side and the water's so murky you can't see your hand underneath, and the sun's setting and there's alligators there. And I heard the sound of the boat go completely out of sight, and I'm sitting there going, I'm just waiting. You know, But I'm just saying, I don't know why they're always on one ski, you know, trying to zing through there and trying to, but anyway. I haven't always done that well in races. I haven't always done that way in athletics. But I do know this, that in this race of life, we need to make sure that we run with perseverance. And so today, we're going to pull out of the stand Moses. And if Moses would tell us something, I believe he would say this: when your problems overwhelm you, this is your first line there if you want to take notes there, and we got message notes there in your worship guide. And that is to abandon safe and live by faith. When your problems overwhelm you, abandon safe and live by faith. You see, Moses had opportunities to play it safe. I mean, he grew up in the house of Pharaoh. You know, he found himself in the lap of luxury. I mean, he was the son in the home of the king. And he decided to not let that be the thing that defined him. In another place in his life, he was in the middle of a desert. But it was a comfortable place because he at this time had a wife, he had a family, things were okay, he had a job, you know, things were comfortable. But instead, he abandoned all of that because God had placed a call upon his life. And I believe what Moses would say to us is to abandon safe and live by faith. So can everybody just say that with me? Abandon safe and live by faith. Let's say it again. Abandon safe and live by faith. And so I want to give you a scripture. It's found in Exodus chapter 3. In this story, let me just set it up. This is after that Moses has actually killed an Egyptian trying to right a wrong. And he fled from Pharaoh, his life being threatened. He fled from Pharaoh and Egypt to the desert. He now had a family. He was married. He's probably 80 years old. And here's where we pick up the story. Verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb. And oftentimes that's also referred to as it's the Mount of God, it says there. And then it goes on to say, and there the angel of the Lord, and theologians will tell you that really, when it talks about the angel of the Lord, it wasn't just an angel, it was God himself, the Lord himself, that appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. It was not a strange thing, especially in that dry climate, to even see these fires just start. But there was something different about this because the bush did not burn up. And so when Moses saw that he had gone over, it says that Moses thought to himself when he saw that, he said, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when Moses saw that he had gone, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Now, y'all have all probably seen the Ten Commandments, and we don't know how that sounded, but we kind of tend to think it sounded like, you know, I can't do this. I don't have a deep enough voice. Moses, okay? There was this voice that came out from the bush, and Moses said, here I am. Now, if it were me, I would be saying, there I was. I mean, think about it. If a voice spoke to you out of a burning bush, would you say, here I am? Or would you like, I'm there I was. I was there, but I'm gone. But no, Moses said, here I am. And he says, God says, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And simply what God was saying is that you need to approach me in humility. And then it says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. I just got to say this right here. If you're in a place where you're suffering and you're in a place where you don't know what to do and you're in a place where you're overwhelmed, I just want to remind you, God sees you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He has not forgotten you, and he's concerned. He cares about you. So don't accept the lie of the enemy that says, well, God doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't care. I don't know where God is. I've messed up, so God doesn't really care about me. Let me tell you something. God cares desperately about you. He cares about you, and he is even willing and ready to do something about it. And so he says, so here's what he calls Moses to. He says, so now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now Moses at this point had a dilemma. He had a dilemma because he was facing the same call that really was upon his life 40 years ago. Because 40 years ago, he stepped out to be a deliverer. He took vengeance upon somebody who was persecuting one of the Hebrew slaves. In fact, that was probably something that was very common, but something happened on a particular day that rose up inside of Moses and said, I've got to do something about it. That's a calling. You know, sometimes we think about a calling of God, we think we've got to hear this audible voice, but sometimes it's the need that calls you. A need presents itself to you, and you feel compelled. You say, I must do something about it. It's like David who said, is there not a cause? And so there was this occasion where it rose up within him, and he said, I've got to do something about this. And so he tried this 40 years ago to be a deliverer, but his attempt did not turn out well. But here's what I want us to realize. There's a place in the Scripture that says the call of God is without repentance. You can run, but you can't hide. You can flee, but you can't get away. Because here's what I want you to see, and that is that every person here today, every one of us has a call of God on our life in some area, in some way. God has a particular purpose on each one of us. That's why you need to come to Dream Team 301 today, or Discovery 301, so you can discover, we can help you discover, if you're not sure what that is, what that looks like. But I'm telling you, God has a call on your life. And here's what Moses says. He said, abandon safe and live by faith. And here's the thing, there's a danger in just playing it safe, because I'm going to give you some points here. And that is, first of all, that safe will keep you trapped in the past. It will keep you trapped in the past. Some of us here may be thinking, well, I've done some things, and the enemy is now speaking to your in your ear and saying that because of those things I've done or what's happened to me, it's eliminated God's will for my life. There may be some things, not that you did, but that were done to you, and you feel like that because of that, that your life will never be a part of the plan that God really had for your life, and your life will ever be changed, and that thing that happened to you will mark your life forever, but it doesn't have to be that way. I just want you to know that this morning. And we need to understand that even though sometimes we think that because of something happening to us, because of where we've been or what we've done, or something done to us, our history, our family history, that it marks who we are, but I want you to know that Jesus came to change all that. You know, sometimes our past is like a boulder. It's like this big, big boulder that we can't move, and there's this chain attached to that. And that chain is clamped to our ankle or our leg, and we're chained to it. Now, there's a chain on there. We can go so far. We can move somewhat, but it's still there. There's only so far that we can go. I've got good news for you today, and that is that Jesus came to break the chain and to set you free and to deliver you from your past completely. But we're oftentimes, we feel like the enemy tries to make us think that we're chained to that past, and the enemy tries to convince us that even if you get free from it, it's going to affect you, and it's going to define you for the rest of your life. Your identity is in that thing. But I want to tell you, it may have been a wound, but God can turn it into a scar. You see, wounds are alive, but scars are not. You'll always recognize that thing happened to you, but it doesn't have to define you, doesn't have to shape who you are, but it can change God can change your life by setting you free from that. Amen, everybody? Everybody believe that? I mean, when we get to heaven, we're going to see the scars that Jesus bore for us. But those are scars. That shows what he went through. There's going to be things that you and I, we've been through, and we can show the scars of things that we've been through. But I want to tell you, I believe that that place of tissue that's a scar place becomes a stronger place and actually can be a place from which we can minister to others out of it. God takes us through some things sometimes so that we can actually, he can use us and he could turn that around. What is it? Somebody said, turn your test into a testimony, right? And he's able to do that and able to use you to affect the life of others as well. So that past doesn't have to define you. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 says this, and this is from the Message. And I know the Message is really simplistic, but it makes it very simple. And I love this verse. I've known this verse for years, but I love the way this Message puts it so simply. And it says, forget about what's happened. Forget about it. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a way through the desert and rivers in the Badlands. And so you don't have to be changed by your past. Moses killed an Egyptian and they hated him for it. But that didn't have to be who he was for the rest of his life. So whatever the enemy has done to enslave you, I want you to know that you can be free today in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? You can be free. And I believe the Holy Spirit has bolt cutters here, and he's ready to set people free. I sensed it today. I was talking to the production team about it before service. I believe God wants to set somebody free in this house today. I don't know what it is. It may be in your past. It may be a habit. It may be something in your life that needs to be broken. I want to tell you, God, the Holy Spirit, has the power to break that and to set you free. And so we know this, and that we're not called that when we play it safe, it keeps us trapped in our past. But a second thing, playing it safe, it keeps us satisfied with today. It keeps us satisfied. Now, we know if we've been set free, there's this tendency to settle or to be satisfied. And I'm not talking about being content. The Bible says contentment is a great thing, okay? But there's a danger of a satisfaction that we get into that can lead us to complacency, all right? And so God didn't call us just to settle, amen? The danger of complacency is that we quit learning. And in order to learn, you've got to change. And if you're going to learn something, you're going to have to change something. And there's a lot of people that can amass a lot of knowledge about the Bible and facts about the Bible, but that doesn't necessarily change their life. But for you to learn who God is requires that you adjust, because God is always moving us toward him, right? He's changing us. God doesn't need to change, amen? But he changes us. And so we could say, well, our past is over. That's done. I'm here. I'm just going to stay here. And Moses could have said, I'm just going to stay here in Horeb. You know, I don't want to go back to the Pharaoh's house. You know, I was there, but now I'm fleeing for my life. In fact, he could have settled in both of those places. He could have settled in the house of Pharaoh, or he could have settled at Horeb, but neither one did he settle at. He was not content in Pharaoh's house, but he had a calling upon his life. Now, think about it. In Pharaoh's house, you're talking about a place to be content. That would be the place to be content, moreover than Horeb was. Think about it. If you were the son of the king in that place, you know how we go to the cupboard and we can get anything we want? Don't you know that for Moses, the cupboard came to him? Hey, I need a toothpick. Don't you know that toothpick came to him? I mean, he had life. It was going well for him, but he would not settle there. He was not content with that. Look at Moses. Look at Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And then there was something on the inside of him. Bill Hybels calls it a holy discontent. And it's where you're and it's not that you're not content with God, but we got to get to the place, church, where we're discontent. We're discontent with human trafficking. We're discontent with kids who don't have a home that are about to be put out on the street. We're discontent with crime in our city and we need to do something about it, right? We're discontent with an amoral society that's going down the wrong path. We're discontent with our family coming apart. We're discontent with our marriage not being all that it can be. We need to have a holy discontent and let God move us and cause the change in us in our life and through us that He wants to change. Amen? And amen. Come on, that's right. And so So there's a danger of being satisfied in with today, but there's also a danger of being afraid of tomorrow. Safe will keep you afraid of tomorrow. And I believe this, that God has something for you that's bigger than your capacity. God has something bigger. I mean, Moses, you know, he was saying to God, God, I've already tried to deliver your people and it didn't work. And what's it going to be like if I do it again? Sometimes we measure the future by our past, which is wrong. And what if I go back, God? They're not going to respect me. Even the Hebrew people, they're not even going to respect me. They're going to mock me. What? Pharaoh's not going to give me the time of day. I mean, he may even try to kill me if I go back. That's what happened when I was leaving. God, I mean, and so we base the future on what the past looked like. And the enemy would have us to stay in that safe place there where we're afraid of tomorrow. Exodus chapter 4 verse 13, Moses said, "Oh Lord," here's how he put it, "please send someone else." just please send someone. In fact, he went through this argument with God basically telling him why he wasn't qualified. And then at the end of it all, he said, after he'd run out of excuses, he said, "God, just please, just send somebody else." And sometimes that's the way we do it. Somebody will do it. Let somebody else do it. But if that's you today, and oftentimes that's me, just take encouragement. Even Jesus was in that place where he said, "Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me." But he concluded his prayer by saying, "But nevertheless, God, Father, not my will, but your will be done." So safe will keep you from stepping out. And in life, you got to take risks. There's times where, you know, You got the bungee cord, you know, strapped to your leg or wherever they strap that thing, you know, and you're on the bridge and you signed the paper. If I die, my family won't sue you. And you're thinking, if this is safe, why have I got to sign this piece of paper, right? You know, and you say, I think I'll just go home and sit on the couch and watch somebody on TV do it. You know, well, going by and I'm not talking about being risky and I'm not talking about being crazy. I think there's a difference between assumption and faith, all right? I'm talking about when God really gives you something to do and you're stepping out on it and you're walking in wisdom, okay? And I don't know if this analogy really relates to that. But anyway, you just jump over the bridge and say, "Wee!" Or you step out of a plane with a parachute on and you're thinking, why step out of this plane? It's a perfectly good plane. There's nothing wrong with this plane. Why do I need to jump out of it? But sometimes to experience life and to go where God wants us to go and do what God's called us to do, we have to take risks and we have to step out. Again, I'm not talking about being careless. I'm not talking about false presumption. I'm not talking about abandoning wisdom. But what I am talking about is us making a difference, stepping out in faith, right? Inevitably, when I preach a message like this, I get somebody that comes up to me. I was sharing this with somebody before church that comes up to me and just really misinterprets the whole thing all wrong. I usually lose people when I preach a message like this. Pastor, I got to go. And people just go because it doesn't mean, look, it doesn't mean that you got to divorce your wife and go get a new wife or a new husband, okay? It doesn't mean if you're a mom, you got to walk out on the kids and go find a new family. It doesn't mean that, okay? What it means is where God's placed you and what God's called you to do, look, it means that you can step out and you can make a difference to those classmates that are sitting beside you at school. It means that you could step out to that coworker and you make a difference in their life and you can speak truth in their life when everybody else is speaking a lie. Come on. Amen. It means that you step out in what we're doing here as a church, and I was talking to my wife yesterday about how we need to find a need and fill it. That's what God's called us to do. Find a need and fill it. Make a difference where God has placed you. And I believe God's called and put the local church here for a purpose. So get in a local church and step out in faith, and let's get involved in doing what God's called us to do and make a difference. Amen. Amen. Take the plunge. Take the plunge. Instead of coming to church on Sunday by yourself, invite your neighbor. Take a step of faith. Step out of the neutral zone, right? And make a difference. So that sometimes we're so afraid of what tomorrow holds that we stay in today. But here's what do we do? How do we know what tomorrow holds? Moses didn't know what tomorrow held, but he went on anyway. Sometimes we don't know what it holds. But here's what we do know, and that is that God, if God is in what he's called you to do, he's in your tomorrow. He is omnipresent. He's already there. There's no surprise with God. You know, something doesn't happen in your life and God turns to an angel and says, wow, I'm surprised I didn't know that was going to happen. No. God's already gone before. When you get there, he's already there. He's already prepared a way for you. Amen. Every temptation that you go through, the Bible says he's prepared a way of escape. He's already ahead of you. He knows where you are. He directs your steps. And by the way, you and I are not here by accident. God's orchestrated this day, this moment, this time, on this calendar, at this point on the clock, for you and I to have an opportunity to connect with him and to go out and make a difference. Amen. And him impact our lives and we impact the world for him. Amen. It's not by accident. God directs our lives. And say, well, how can God do that? Look, if God can be concerned about some little micro plant down in the bottom of the ocean that half the world hasn't even seen and he's concerned about every detail of that, don't you know he cares about you? The Bible says he knows the number of hairs upon your head. He cares about every detail of your life. I remember years ago some guy was helping me here at the church and he preached about how, you know, I was actually preaching about how, you know, God doesn't care about what color sock you put on. You know, don't get silly. And this guy came up and chatted with me. I said, I'm not so sure about that. God's concerned about every detail of your life. Now, I know you can go crazy with this stuff, but I want to tell you, God goes ahead and he prepares a way for us, so we need to step out in faith and move into what God's called us to do, abandon safe and live by faith. So I'm going to give you some final words, three things that I believe that Moses, if he stepped out of the stands, ran with us, would speak into our life. As he's about to get ready to go back up in the stands, what would he leave us with? Number one, I believe he would say this, to live by faith. Look, recognize that God is already at work in you. If you're going to live by faith, you've got to recognize that God is already at work in you. God's already been here. He's not surprised by anything. You and I are not here by accident. God has planned it all. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 says this, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So what this is saying, I know every parent feels like their child is no ordinary child. This is not what this is saying. What this is saying is there was something in them, they recognized that God was impressing upon them that God had a call on this child's life. But I must say that God's got a call on every person's life. They recognized that. And they were not afraid. The parents knew there was something different going on. And I want to just say this. God has called all of us to something. Everybody say all of us. All of us. And he has a plan for us. He's had a plan for us from the day that we were born. And God is already working in your life. He's already doing that. And I believe God wants to do something supernatural in life. I believe supernatural is anything that God can do for us that we cannot do for ourselves that really is supernatural. But God is with us. He's infinite, he's omnipresent, and he's available to do those things in our life. But he's already recognized, he's already doing that in our life. So we got to be a people that live by faith, that believe for the supernatural. I'm believing for the supernatural in this place. I want to see a supernatural move of God in the city of Charlotte. I want to see the crime rate go down in the city of Charlotte. I want to see divorce rate go down. Come on, I want to see marriages being mended in this place. I want to see the supernatural in our city. Come on, and in this church. And so to live by faith means recognize that God's already working. Number two, to live by faith, refuse to be defined by anything but God. This is great. Refuse to be defined by anything but God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking forward to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Let me just say this to you. If you're going to live by faith, you got to refuse to wear the label that many times we've put on ourselves or others have labeled us with. And we got to understand that God has put a label on us about what he says about us. So some of us have labels of our past. My dad did this, my granddad did this, and his granddad did this, and this is who I am. My grandma, my mama, everybody behind me did this, so that's just who I am. It's just in me, it's in my DNA. And we got to understand that Jesus came to rip that label off and to put a new label on us. Revelation, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling this. Revelation says that he wrote a new name upon our hearts. Amen? He knows who we are before we're even born. And this world has tried to turn us by a false identity of us accepting an identity of somebody who we are not. And I'm going to tell you, God has an identity of who he says we are, and we need to accept his label and know that we are a child of the king, and we are loved with an everlasting love. Amen? Amen. Amen. I mean, think about it. Moses, many times, in fact, in this story, a couple times in this story, actually, you see where Moses, it speaks that he was not afraid of the king, of what the king would say. And we're talking about sometimes in our life there's a king that says something to us. I'm talking about the small k king that speaks in our life and tries to tell us who we are. Jesus, it was said, oh, well, he's just the son of Nazareth. He's that carpenter's son. Of Moses, it said, well, he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Of Noah, his dilemma was, well, what's this Noah doing? He's building a boat. What's that he's got going on in his garage? That makes no sense. They'd never even seen a boat or rain before. Rebecca was had this dilemma that we just studied last week, that giving is not natural. And what do you do about a David who comes along and they say, David, what can you do about a giant that even an army can't take care of? Joshua and Caleb had people all around them saying, we can't do this thing, and discourage the whole nation, but they were two that believed God, and God was faithful to them, and they were able to inherit the promise that God had given to them. Look at this, man. I mean, you know, you got Peter who had a little girl coming to him, and he denied Christ because of what this little girl would say and trying to turn him into what she said about the situation and influence him. Listen, the prostitute that was accused of adultery, she had to believe that she could be forgiven, but instead of believing the lie that she could not be forgiven. What is the little k? What is the little king? What is the king, the little k, saying to you? How is he trying to define you? I want to tell you, we need to be defined by what the living God says about us. We need to believe what the Word of God says about us. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And can I just take it a step further? It's what God says about us, and what we need to say about ourselves is what God says about us. When we mess up, instead of saying, oh, you stupid person, you know, you're calling yourself stupid, why don't you just say, oh, blessed of God. Now, you may think that's silly. But why not say what God says about you instead of what the enemy would say about you, what yourself would say about you? And can I take it another step further? When we look at other people and we see only what we see, what we need to speak is not what we see in people, but what God says about those people. Come on, everybody. We need to be seeing people in the light of through God's eyes and understand that they're a child of the king. You're a child of the king. God has his hand on your life. God has designed you for greatness. God's designed you to make an eternal difference. Amen? And speak God's truth over ourselves and over one another and refuse to be defined by what everybody else says about us. I got to share this story with you. If I could have had the clip today, I would have thrown the clip up for you. But I heard this story on the radio of this guy. Did you hear about it? 95 years old. He broke a world record running a race. His name is Charles Yugster, and and here's how this article went. It says, hey, Jamaica, you can keep your Usain Bolt. Y'all know who that guy is, the fast guy? Over here in Britain, we have Charles Yugster. The lightning-quick 95-year-old has blitzed his way into the record books by running the 200-meter sprint in a world record time of 55.48 seconds for his age group. 95 years old. He talked about the record that he broke. But here's what makes this story amazing, and that is that this guy didn't start running until he was 85. He woke up, looked in the mirror, and says, I'm looking a little tired and putting on a little weight. I think I need to start working out. So he starts going to the gym, starts getting with some guys, starts lifting weights and building his body up. And so at the age of 95, I wish you could see the clip of this guy. Go on YouTube, look it up. And this guy starts, he's set, and he runs, and he's kind of almost straight up. But he's just running like this. You know? And I get so excited watching this. I'm thinking, yeah. And the crowd starts cheering. And if anybody knows about racing, you know how far that was. It was just one lap around. You know, but he got through that one lap around, and he does this. You know, I'm thinking, yes, he started at 85, but he didn't run this race till he's 95. I'm thinking, oh, yes, that just did my heart good. I want to tell you, it's never too late. Listen, don't let the enemy tell you you're too young. Don't let the enemy tell you you're too old. Don't let the enemy tell you you don't have the right pedigree, whatever that is. Don't let the enemy tell you that you don't have the right resources. Let me tell you that you are who God says you are, and all things are possible with him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, am I through yet? I got one more point. Come on, Dwayne, help me close this out. Point number three. Oh, and by the way, he did what all good athletes did. After he won that race, he tweeted about it. Okay, I'm just saying, you know. Said he was over the moon. Love it. Point number three, to live by faith impacts others around you. Verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Let me just say this. There's something that you've been called to do that's going to make an eternal difference in somebody's life. Moses didn't know. He is a shepherd. Thought he was defeated on the backside of the desert. Him stepping out would make an eternal difference. And we'd be here today in 2015 talking about him and him making a difference in our life by his example. Not only that, he led the whole nation out of bondage because one man made a difference. I want to tell you, God has a calling on your life. And here's what Moses did. He was obedient. He was obedient. So what it really comes down to is our obedience. Sometimes we know what to do, but are we obedient to it? But your obedience can make an eternal difference in somebody's life. Your obedience, actually, let's take one step back before that. Your obedience will make an eternal difference in your own life. And then God will use you to make a difference in somebody else's life. Moses was the greatest deliverer next to Jesus. He was actually a type and shadow of the deliverer that was to come. He's the greatest leader next to Jesus we've ever known. One of the reasons was he was humble. He was the meekest man, the Bible says, of everybody. He was meek. Because of the process of life that he went through, suffering defeat, and he got to the place where God said, I need to use you. And Moses said, I'm not qualified. And God said, perfect, now you're ready. You've come to the end of yourself. You're humble, you realize you can't do anything, and God says, now I can use you. And in that state of humility, God was able to take him and to use him to make an eternal difference. And so he was humble and he was obedient, just as Jesus came and presented himself as being a humble servant and was obedient even to the cross for you and I. And so God comes to bring deliverance. I've had this on my heart. I believe the first Wednesday next month we're going to be having a healing service. I just want to let you know that. I want to encourage you to come. I believe God wants to heal people in many areas. God comes to deliver and bring healing in our life, set us free. Day, I believe, is that kind of day. I believe God wants to deliver somebody. You say, well, Moses is this guy came to deliver. I'm the guy that needs deliverance. I need to be set free. I'm in bondage. I'm not where I need to be. Today's your day. today is your day. I believe the deliverer has come. The Holy Spirit's here. He's able to cut the chains of bondage and set you free. So right now, would you help me out? Would you just take a moment, bow your heads, and just let's just allow the Lord to do what He desires to do in this house today. God, I'm asking you to change somebody's history. Start writing a new history today in their life. Change history from this day forward, I pray. Heal the past. Give them a new start today. Lord, we've been deceived. Many of us don't even know who we are. You know who we are. It's not defined by what we do or what we've done, but it's been defined by what you've done. At Calvary, when you died on the cross for us, and you declared our worth was to such a degree you left heaven to come for us. God, I don't understand that, but by faith I accept it. I'm asking you today, help us and give us the ability to accept that and to be obedient to you, to allow you to come in. Bring deliverance to us today in Jesus' name. My heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You're here today. You need a deliverer. You know you need a deliverer. And maybe you're coming to Christ for the first time, or perhaps you've been a Christian, but you know in some area of your life He's not been Lord. And you've gotten attached to things that you shouldn't be attached to, or things have attached themselves to you that you can't get rid of, but you need deliverance in your life. And you know you need to make a new commitment to the Lord and allow Him to come in by His authority and set you free. I want to lead you in a prayer today, and if you're here today and you know that you need to pray that kind of a prayer, I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. If that's you today, very quickly, you can, my heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. You just slip up a hand. Have the courage to slip a hand. You put it right back down. God bless you today. Anyone else? God bless you. Yes, I'm proud of you. Yes. Anyone else? Would you just let this be your prayer today from your heart? Just pray from your heart. Just let me lead you in it. Just pray this prayer. Jesus, today, I surrender my heart to you. I give you my past, my present, and my future. And I invite you to come in and be the Lord of my life. By faith, I accept that you have paid the price for my sins. You have taken care of my past, my present, and my future. Everything I have need of is found in you. I invite you to come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of going my own way. With all of my heart, I will follow you. Because today, I give you my life. I give you my past, my present, and my future. Now, God, guide me and direct me. And thank you for saving me today. Thank you for healing me today. Thank you for delivering me today. Thank you for setting me free. May I speak the things about me that you speak about me. I am brand new. I'm a new creation. I am victorious in Christ Jesus.